Good morning. Before I begin the readings, I want to thank everyone for your prayers and your cards at my recent bout with appendicitis. Is all greatly appreciated, for sure. We can't get by it on our own. We need all the help we can get. So our first reading today is from 1 Kings, chapter 18. And verses 20, can't remember wording. I might go forever if I can't. 20 to 39. And this is taken after Elijah had come, been sent, and was told to gather all the prophets and rulers of the land. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets number 450. Let two bowls be given to us. Let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bowl and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God whom answers by fire is indeed God. All the people answered, "Well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourself one bowl and prepare it first. For you are many, then call upon the name of your God to put fire to it." So they took the bowl that was given them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, crying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud. Surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, and no response. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First he prepared the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next he put the wood in order, cut the bowl in pieces, and laid it on the wood. He said, "Fill your 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God." the Lord indeed is God. May the Lord add his blessings to the hearing of this scripture. Thanks be to God. Now, if you return in your hymnals to page 815, for the responsive reading of Psalm 96, it continues on page 816 also. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless God's name. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day. Declare the Lord's glory among the nations, the Lord's marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before the Lord, in whose sanctuary are strength and beauty. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into the courts of the Lord. Worship the Lord in thy holy splendor. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord has established the world. It shall never be moved. The Lord will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. And there shall all the trees of the woods sing for joy before the Lord who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 176 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible and on page 228 in the large print Bible. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who were with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. You'll find that in your pew Bible in the New Testament section on page 61. And if you're reading from the large print Bible, the New Testament, page 79. Luke 7, 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us. And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, having just heard the story from Luke, I want you to put your memory back a little bit to think about the wonderful story that Bill read from 1 Kings, the story of Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. Hold that story in your mind. In 1986, Rob Reiner directed a movie, an American coming-of-age story entitled Stand By Me. It was based upon a Stephen King story, a novella called The Body. Does anybody remember that movie, Stand By Me? Yeah, some of you are movie people. Good, good. Well, it's a great story, if you haven't seen it, about four young boys who set off on foot on a journey to find the body of a missing kid near the fictional town of Castle Rock, Oregon, over Labor Day weekend in September 1959. It's a movie worth watching. You might get it on Netflix. But as they're walking along the railroad tracks in search of this body, they have many deep and probing conversations about life and girls and their futures. And at one point, one of the kids poses a deep, important philosophical question. If Mighty Mouse were to fight Superman, who would win? This was important stuff. If Mighty Mouse was up against Superman, who would win? How many of you remember Mighty Mouse? Come on now. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right crowd. Well, much discussion and many opinions later, another kid points out the obvious. That's stupid, you guys. Of course, Superman would win. He's a real guy. Well, I want you to think about the time that you were in grade school. Do you remember ever having conversations like that? I do. I can remember quite clearly defending the honor of my family on the playground with similar philosophical comparisons. I can remember arguing the facts. My mom is prettier than your mom. And also, my dad is stronger than your dad. Well, these stories came to mind when I was thinking about Elijah making the challenge to the 450 prophets of Baal. It was the power of God Almighty versus the power of Baal. In the case of the young kids in the movie, it really didn't matter that Mighty Mouse would probably never face Superman in real life. It didn't matter because they knew who was more powerful because Superman is a real guy. And it didn't matter to me that I could never prove that my mom was prettier than some other mom, or that my dad was stronger than some other dad. It didn't matter because in my heart, I knew that these things were true and indisputable. But I wonder, how did it feel to you when Elijah put God Almighty up against the pagan god Baal? As you think about God's power, let's also remember that we have this wonderful description of God's power and honor and majesty and beauty and strength and glory in Psalm 96. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heaven be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. This is a moving and marvelous testament to God's power. But honestly, in your heart of hearts, when you listen to the story from 1 Kings, weren't you cheering when Elijah showed off the power of God in such a graphic display to those 450 prophets of Baal? At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that You are God in Israel, that I am Your servant, that I have done all these things at Your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that You, O Lord, are God, and that You have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God. Now, maybe this is another case of Mighty Mouse against Superman. That's stupid, you guys. Of course Superman would win. He's a real guy. Maybe it's completely obvious that God Almighty is a real God and this Baal character was nothing more than an idol, the Mighty Mouse of his time. Maybe the Mickey Mouse, too. But again, in your heart of hearts, haven't you ever wished that God would display His power in a flashy and fiery, my dad is stronger than your dad way, just like He did when Elijah invoked God's name? Does it feel sometimes like God is reluctant to show off His power in the 21st century? Wouldn't that feel wonderful to see God flex His muscles and show the world His amazing divine power? I wonder, though, if sometimes we just aren't seeing God's power displayed in the ways that we might expect. The centurion in Luke's gospel was a wealthy Gentile man who was appointed by the Roman Empire to oversee a contingent of 80 Roman soldiers. He had donated money to help build the Jewish synagogue in Capernaum, but he was clearly not the kind of person you would have suspected to be a man of strong belief in the power of the Messiah. The centurion understood authority. He served under Caesar, and he commanded soldiers and slaves to do his bidding. Likewise, he understood that Jesus wielded great power and authority, the power of God. The centurion knew without any further proof that Jesus could say a word at a distance, and the sick slave would be returned to good health. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was completely surprised by the centurion. When Jesus heard this, He was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed Him, He said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Not even among the folks I came to save, the folks you would have expected, have I seen this kind of faith. Now, Jesus knew full well that He commanded the power of God within Himself, but He was surprised that this Gentile displayed such faith in God's power. Maybe, just maybe, God's power is now displayed in Jesus through the Holy Spirit in places and in ways that are surprising and transforming, but not in the flashy ways of Mighty Mouse or Superman or Elijah and the blazing fire of the Lord from on high. Maybe the most powerful and surprising faith comes in the knowledge of God's power and not in the display of this divine power. Maybe it's more of Psalm 96 and less of 1 Kings. Maybe God's power is something like the absolute knowledge that you had when you were a kid that your mom was the prettiest mom and your dad was the strongest dad. My friends, let us look for and discern this more subtle power of God in Jesus Christ. Let us live and love this kind of powerful faith. Amen.